are escaping a land of smoke and mirrors, obfuscation, and confusion, and into a space of liberty-inducing veracity and reason. In this new land, divergence from the secularist status quo is the zenith of human existence. Welcome to Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Transmission begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to the newest edition of the Absolute Truth, Absolutely podcast, your repository for truth. And this is powered by LWYM, Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. We're so glad that you have downloaded this podcast and are listening to it. We only ask you that you were to disseminate this amongst your family members, your friends, co-workers, what have you, so that the truth may be propagated in a world full of uncertainty. My name is Gio. I'm the youth pastor of LWYM in Miami, and joining me is my lovely wife, Sarai, and she helps me in the endeavor of trying to brainwash this generation into believing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, I guess you can use the word brainwash.
Brainwash.
I mean, we don't force anybody, but we do ask that you use your reasoning.
Well, what I mean by brainwash, I'm not speaking about indoctrination. What I mean is literally washing their brain from all of the filth that they are accumulating.
Yes, then yes, we do that.
We do brainwash, right? We have to redefine the term. Everything's being redefined nowadays, so I'm redefining the term as we go along.
So is the new black white?
No,
it's gray. Or is the new black orange?
It's gray. There is no such thing as black and white.
Okay.
Well, we can redefine it. So now instead of there being a gray area, as is commonly said, we're going to say there's a striped area.
Okay.
Because there's stripes of black, white, and gray.
Yes.
We continue to...
With the turn of the little tone of purple and green in there.
Slightly. Well, the reason that... That's a good segue. The reason that we mentioned green is because in studio we have our guest and a longtime friend, Chantel Mendoza.
Hello.
And the reason that Chantel is here today is to give a cordial, a convivial hello to everyone, as she just did, but also to speak a little bit about her testimony to help out people who are probably entertaining any notions of bulimia.
Yeah.
And also those that might be going through that similar situation, because her personal testimony is a powerful one and one that I think is necessary to be disseminated, how the Lord helped you extract you from that situation, potentially hazardous health-wise situation in your life. And we'll get to that in just a second. But before we do, I think we need to establish a foundation for what we're going to mention. And your testimony will give credence to what I'm about to say. Jump in here if you feel the need to. Isn't it true or not that we are living in a generation? It's not new. It's not new, but we're living in a generation that is very focused on superficialities, on artificialities. The Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, the way that celebrities look, the magazine culture. When you check out at the local grocer, you're looking at six-pack abs and how to have the greatest and best sex of all time. Which, by the way, isn't it ironic that they're always promising that, and yet every single month they're talking about a different position or X. Why don't they just come out with one issue promising the best sex ever and leave it at that? They'll never. It's about selling issues, of course.
Yeah, and it's obviously they lied about it, because now they got to keep you coming back for more. So obviously those 10 steps or the quiz that they gave didn't work, and they need to do something else about it.
Well, my point being is that we live in a generation, in a day and age, that is very superficial. There are persons are enthralled with the way they look, the way they act in public. And this could be detrimental, as it was for your life, as it was for my life. I know as it was for your life also, Sarai. And the more and more I see how centralized public life, civic life is, especially in public schools, the more hazardous I see it. And you're a testimony to that, where you think you're going to school to be educated. And what happens? The least that's on your mind is mathematics, arithmetic, language arts. It's, what do my friends think of me? I have to have the JanSport backpack. Otherwise, I'm going to be made fun of. If I don't wear the latest style, well, in your generation, it was Zee Gabarici.
Which I owned a pair, mind you.
In my generation, it was, we were leaving the crisscross era and entering into the preppy looking era. And it was the same thing with you, Chantel. It's the different fads, but everybody has to conform to them. So there's this pervasive ideology that it propagates itself through the culture, and people allow themselves, they become echoes of it within the echo chamber of pop culture, which says you have to look this way, otherwise you're an outcast. And how do they expound on that? How do they require conformity to that idea? They mock. They belittle, which was also part of your testimony. I don't want to steal your thunder here, but that's what they do. They start mocking. Oh, you're different. And then they employ terminologies. Today, the term is used, bullying, if you will. But they employ terminologies to try to make you feel inferior. Mm-hmm. So that in your shamefulness, you would begin to behave the way that the norms of society dictate. So Chantel's testimony is exactly about that. How to look at, not believe that, of course, that's a falsehood. And we look to the Bible, of course, for our answers for all these things. But that's all a superficial world. It's artificial. It's a created construct to get you to conform to the secularist system and look away from God. So I'll throw it over to you to begin asking our guests the questions.
Yeah, but before I go there, I do want to state that this culture of ours, the media, the magazines, the movies, the entertainment world, the pop culture world, they're doing a really good job at letting the young man and young woman know that, hey, this is the mold that you have to fit in. If you don't fit this mold, again, like you were saying, you're going to be castigated. We will make fun of you.
And you're saying that sarcastically, of course, yes. When you say a good job.
Yeah.
I don't want the listeners to believe, oh, so I should.
No, I'm being sarcastic.
I should comply.
So they're doing a good job in the sense of pushing that lie for these young and women to believe this, and even girls in elementary school. So my advice and my words of encouragement would be that if you're a young listener that's listening, why don't you digest and figure out and examine, why is it that they want you to dress that way? Why is it that they want you to look that way? The Bible says that he created every man and woman in his image. Hmm. So that goes to show you that, first of all, God's image is perfect. So,
but even within that, you bring up a good point. I have to jump in here. I'm sorry for interrupting you. Some people say God is monotonous because he creates humanity. But even within humanity, there's different shades, different looks.
And that's where I was going.
Statures. So God creates something so unique. He creates uniqueness within uniqueness. Even though we all share in his attributes, not his deity, of course, but in feelings, emotions, spirit. So we share in his attributes. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, he gave each and every one of us a unique identity, which the secular world, of course, Satan being the driving motivation, the engine of it, tells you to compromise that. The very uniqueness. And how does he do it? By bringing shame, by saying, if you do not conform to this system, you will be mocked. You will be the outcast. No one's going to love you.
Yes, and which is a lie. And this is where I come in and say, you know what? Continue being different. If being different is being overweight, and I'm not saying overweight, but being husky. If being different is that you don't fit the mold because, look, kids are always going to make fun of you because your hair is too short, your hair is too long. You have curly hair, you have straight hair. You're black, you're white. You tan,
no, not black,
and you get
African-American.
Red. Yes, African-American.
African-American. So, and if you're white, even though you're white, they don't say Anglo-Saxon.
Oh, you're a cracker.
Or you're a cracker. Well, right? What is it? You could say cracker, you could say honky, but you can't use the word nigger.
Right.
I just said the N-word. I'm sorry.
So I just wanted to tell the listeners that be comfortable in your own skin. I mean, God created you. So forget about what the media is telling you that you have to look this way. Why don't you ask yourself the question, why isn't the media ever putting instead of a man with six packs, why aren't they putting a husky man on the front cover? Why aren't they putting a plus size woman on the front cover?
Well, they did. But even then, it was photoshopped.
Oh, and then they still get castigated.
Sports Illustrated.
She's got
to
get out.
She had to, I forget the name of that model, whatever her name is. She had to admit that what ended up on the pages of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue for 2015 was still photoshopped. So even then, it's an artificial game. So Chantel, we've laid a foundation. We've given the preface. Tell us, how did this begin in your life?
Oh, it began when I was in middle school, like I was saying. Like, well, you guys talk about bullying and all of that. And at that point, I think it didn't... You think about it now, you're like, oh my gosh, Chantal, really? Just because of that, now you're paying attention to that? But it's true. When you're smaller and you just want everyone to look at you, how they look at the people in magazines and how they're dressed and skinny and the swimsuits and all of that. I think it all started because when I was in eighth grade in middle school, there were like some kids in there, and like a kid in a specific that he told me, oh, that you're fat. And when we used to like pee and stuff, like, oh, you're sweating like a little pig.
There's
and
always that one, isn't there?
But the funny thing is that he was fatter than me. And now I wish I could go back and be like, you're fat too.
I can't believe that.
We can't, come on, what are you saying?
It's you're true. Fatter. Now when you look at it, now when you think about it, some of these kids, they dedicate themselves to doing that. And at that point, you wish you would have been smarter.
Yes.
Say, really? I'm paying attention to this person.
Yeah, to that one specific. I'm like, really? Now I see that you're fat. And I go to the yearbook and I'm like, you're fat too. But anyways, then it started there. And then, of course, when you enter high school, it's a whole different thing. And people are different. And there are the jocks and the little cliches. And everyone is there.
You know, Chantal, I'm sorry to interrupt you. You bring up a good point. So Ryan and I have mentioned this before in private conversation. Haven't you noticed? I'm pretty sure you have. Middle school and high school are so different.
Yes.
Ugh. Middle school, there seems to be much more of an oppressive environment. I don't know how else to classify it, where those cliques don't exist. Mm-hmm. Everybody seems to want to conform to some image. And then once you hit the high school years, it's like you said, everybody goes their own way. They have their groups. They have their cliques. Everyone is identity politics, I guess, takes over, right?
And the fact that she mentioned that she went through this in seventh grade, my years in middle school, specifically 7th and 8th grade, I wish I can delete those years of my school because those were the years that I got the most pressure. I'm talking about temptation, because you're in that process of finding your identity. And I've said this before. And if your foundation isn't solid on God, on Jesus Christ, if it's not biblically sound based, you're going to allow other things to come in and try and mold you and tell you this is the identity that you should have. So it wasn't until high school where I was just like, oh.
Couldn't it be then that those are indeed the formative years, and there's a reason why God established the system of parents being the principal educators of their children, and something has happened where the secularist system has twisted that and corrupted it by forcing young men and women to go to public standardized schools and taking them away from under the influence of their parents. That's why I continue to advocate to this day. I hope that more and more parents continue the trend of homeschooling their own children, because why send them off to a third party where those teachers don't have your children's best intention in mind?
They don't.
They're going to be in an environment where other young... I'm not speaking about shielding them, because some parents would, and they have accused me, they say, you're an isolationist. No, I'm not an isolationist. I'm for taking care of a young man and woman's heart. Look at what we all had to go through in the public schooling system. You're supposed to show up to school to learn. You're not there to be made fun of. You're not there to be indoctrinated. But yet all of that is actually what's happening instead of education. So that's why I continue to advocate, parents, if you can, do everything you can, homeschool your own children. As a matter of fact, the statistics are already proving everything we've showcased. 75% to 80% of young men and women, once they enter university or are in their last years of high school, they abandon the faith. Yet it has been proven now, 85% of young men and women that are homeschooled, they stay in the faith and they continue to persevere in it throughout their adult lives. The statistics don't lie. They tell us the absolute truth about this. But Chantal, we continue with your testimony then. Exactly that happened. You allowed that in that system to somehow ingrain itself in your mind and in your heart. And that led you to a path where you considered other people's opinions of utmost importance about how you looked.
It's so true. Like for me, I was like, okay, I have my own opinion and I don't care about yours. But deep down, everyone cares about each other's opinions when you're like a smaller. When you're in high school and stuff like that, oh, that person says something about me, that's it. Now it's going to affect me for a whole month or something.
Wow.
And now you see, you don't really care about that anymore. Now someone can say, I'm sorry, but you have that opinion, I have mine, and what can we do? I'm not going to change you, you're not going to change me, and that's it. But before in high school, yeah, all of that affected me. Before, I was like, okay, I don't really care, but I did care. And then that's where it all started. Then before, that's it. When I entered ninth grade, that it was freshman year, I entered, okay, I'm not going to start doing exercise because I really don't want to. And I'm not going to eat healthy because I don't want to, but I'm going to go the easy way to lose my weight. Mm. And what is that? Okay, I'm going to start throwing up everything I eat.
And this was an idea. Where did you get where did you get the concept of saying, you know what, I'm going to choose throwing up?
Me, because I don't know. I think it was because of all my friends. Well, my best friend, he's all like athletic. He loves gym and all of that. But then I see that he will do it every day, and every day take his time doing exercises and all that. But I was like, that's going to take too long for me. Mm. I don't want that.
You wanted a shortcut.
I want the shortcut. Mm. And I'm going to go for bulimia. In the United States, I think it's where you see more anorexic and bulimia as part of like the kids growing up, or not just the kids, but adult people. That's where I think you see more in here.
Yes.
And I was like, that's the easy one. I'm going to go for that one. So I started doing that, and it took me through my whole high school years for that to finally get out of my system and my mind. Mm. And nobody knew, only like two friends. And it was like that for a couple of months, a couple of long months. Mm. And then finally, I've been coming into church like more than a decade. And you guys have been seeing me growing up. And before I was really old, now I'm like 22, going to 23.
Mm. Time goes by fast,
yeah.
Which informs us that we're getting older.
Yes, it does.
You guys don't look old, so it's fine. Don't worry.
Thank you, Chantel. Points for Chantel.
Yes. Thank you.
But then God told me, okay, I have these two people for you to talk to. Go talk to them. Mm. And that's where I came to you guys. You guys are my youth pastors, and you guys helped me to open my eyes and kind of smack me in the head.
Not literally.
Not literally, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we don't abuse kids here.
Yeah.
Or ever.
Even though sometimes some of them, sometimes they can deserve it.
So I know God was like, okay, here. This is your help, and you have to take it. And I remember it took a couple, like a long conversations that we all had,
yes,
for me to finally be like, okay, I think it's the time for me to stop. But that was like, I had to pass 4 years for that to happen. And my family didn't know because I hid it really well. It was a time that now whatever you ate, you wouldn't enjoy it. It was like, okay, I'm gonna go out with my friends, but no, I don't want to eat. Okay, when am I gonna eat? But I can't wait to go to the bathroom because I'm not going to enjoy it the whole night because I'm not going to enjoy it. So it was a long path, but finally, thank God that he took me out of that. And now I can go and eat my pizzas. Mm-hmm. I can go and eat my French fries, and I just enjoy it.
Still doing exercise. You're trying to keep yourself healthy.
I love, before when that was happening, I wouldn't want to go out. I was just in my house, in my bed, and that's it. Nobody bothers me because I don't wanna go out the world. I don't wanna see anything. But now my favorite activity is going kayaking. Mm. I love that.
That's awesome.
I love it because you go out there, the ocean, and you see calm, and you finally like start reflecting, and you're like, okay, look at all of this. This God did all of this, and I'm enjoying it. And that's absolutely how it's supposed to be. Like, I'm enjoying it, and I can just see it. And before, I wasn't able to do all of that because I was like, no. But now I don't really care. I'm like, you know what? I may be a couple of more pounds, but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying everything.
Exactly.
I go outdoors. I want to do everything. That's awesome. I love shooting. So, yeah, I go do that too.
Awesome. Oh, we like that too. We definitely like that too. Absolutely.
And that's it. I don't care. Now I do my exercises, but it's not just for me to look hot. I don't want that. I'm doing my exercises because I mean, to put my kayak up and all of that, I need strength in my arms.
Exactly. Yes.
I do, but I see, like, I see it in a different way. I see it more than now I do it because it's for me. It's like to enjoy it. And hopefully I have some plans for the future and it's going to require exercises for my physical activities. So I hope God like continue helping me in that because he got me out of that. And I know I'm going to like do many stuff together.
You mentioned something before the program. We were talking about certain stats that usually, correct me if I'm wrong, that people who end up with anorexia or bulimia, they go into cutting. Is that true?
True.
Did you also do cutting during this time?
No, I didn't.
Thankfully, you didn't descend further down the rabbit hole. Now, Chantel, you've also shared with us off air and in private conversation about some of the health, the negative consequences to your health because you continually did this for years. Could you share that with our audience,
please? Sure, yeah. When I did that at the beginning, I think you also have to do, okay, it's the easy way, but you need to do research in what you're doing. Like we said, it was not the natural thing to do. Mm-hmm. And your body is going to start showing some effects that it could happen for like a long while. Some of my effects was that the normal thing is you eat, and like we talk about it, it takes a couple of minutes, like long minutes, like 30 minutes at least, an hour for you to go to the bathroom and start taking that out. But for me, it wasn't like that. It was just eat. You take what? You take like 15, 20 minutes eating. And then right there, after I just finish my last bite, I'll be like, I have to go to the bathroom. Mm. Like my body wouldn't contain that like normal people do. Mm. And until this day, like almost 5 years later, it still happens to me. So now I have to go and be really careful with what I eat. And I'll be like, okay, I'm going now, but I have to check what I'm eating because, I mean, let's say if I'm on a date or something and that happens, that'll be embarrassing. I'll be like, no, I'll be in my house. I don't care. But if I'm out, let's see if I'm like an hour away from home, that happens.
Yes.
So no, and also another thing that happens to me and like until last year, it got regular, it was my menstrual cycles.
Wow.
Like before when that was happening, the normal thing, like we said, normal is every month.
Yes.
For girls, every month. But it was one time for me that it took me 6 months for me to get it back.
Wow.
Of course, in a way I was happy, but no, it's not normal. Wow. It's not healthy, the healthy way, let's say healthy. So it will take sometimes 2 months, every 2 months, 3 months, 2 months, like that. Until one time I'm like, wait, this can't be happening. It's going to affect me more.
Right.
And after I finished, when God took me out of that, it continued like that. I still have the effects. But until last year is when it started to get every month now.
Oh, so it started regulating itself again recently.
Recently, but that was like 4 years later.
Yes.
So
It did have detrimental effects on your health.
It also, another thing, I thank God it didn't happen to me. It was like you could also get throat cancer. Mm-hmm. And the throat cancer, if you get a throat or like any type of cancer, then it's going to take a little while. You have to
because of the acidity of what you're throwing up.
Yes.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. You were telling me earlier about it and Sarai about how your dad, God used the Lord, the Lord used your dad to speak to you about eliminating this behavior in your life. And when I say behavior, I'm not speaking in a psychoanalysis sense because, you know, and our audience knows we're not into psychobabble. We're not into psychology. That's a false religion. But having said that, you had spoken to us before about how the Lord had used your father to sit you down and say, daughter, there's another way to do these things. Yes. There's another perspective to do these things. And I think it also, this is a lesson for the adults that listen to this podcast with regularity. Many of them have come to think the way that I get my child, influence my child to stop certain behaviors is to scream at them. But in truth, you were at an age where you needed to be reasoned with, not screamed at in order to comply with the way that things should be. Talk to us a little bit about how the Lord used your dad to speak to you in order to get you to stop.
Well, some of the people who knows about me and my life know that my dad passed away last year. And it was hard because he was like, he more than my dad, he was my friend. Mm. So anything I want to talk to, he was there to listen to me. Mm. And he knew me. He knew that sometimes he would like be not physically, but like also smack me. And he was like, that's not the way God wants, okay? And I'll be like, oh, okay, so yeah. But it's funny because my dad, he would, like I said, he would always listen to me. And there was one time that he saw me and he was like, what's wrong?
He knew
something was wrong.
He told me, what's wrong? And just by talking to him, I'm like, I'm fat. I feel fat. And I started crying and crying and crying. And he just hugged me. And he was like, why are you crying for that? Like, you're not fat. Yeah. What's wrong? If you want to lose some weight, do exercise. You want to go to the gym? Go to the gym. Eat healthier. But he just talked to me. I remember he just talked to me. He was like, you're not fat. Hmm. I mean, God is going to put the boy that he wants you. And he's going to love you how you are. You have those couple of pounds. He's going to love those couple of pounds. He's not going to be like, you're going to have blonde hair. You're going to have blue eyes. Mm. You're not going to be super skinny.
Right.
And you're not going to be like the super waist.
Because if he wants you to change, he's not loving you for who you are, but what another image of what a woman should be in his mind. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And I remember he just talking to me and he was all like calm, like, hey, come on. You're not like that. Come on. What's wrong? So I remember he was always there to say not my mom, but he just talked to me. And I think for parents, sometimes they're just working and working and working. But try to put a pause and be like, if you see your kid being different, like changing, be like, what's wrong? Mm. I think that question can, like, people will open up and be like, okay, this is happening. And okay, I need help. Or sometimes you don't want the help, but you should ask them, like, hey, what's wrong?
Yes.
Like, what is it? You need my help, or come on, let's pray or something. Because Amen. It's funny because I didn't have to pay $100 for an hour to talk to a psychologist or go to these places for them to help me.
Or drug you up.
Or give me medicines and be like, this is it. That's it. You're going to get healthy. Hmm. No.
When your problem was really a spiritual one.
Hmm. A spiritual
one. One that was in your heart and it needed correction.
Yeah. It'd be like, okay, this is an addiction. And we're going to get you this. No, the only thing that we did, and you guys were there, we just prayed and asked help for God, from God. And he gave it to me. He gave it to all of us. And after all of those years, I remember from one day to the other, God, poof, he just went away. Hmm. I mean, he was there all the time. And sometimes I talk to you guys and I was like, yes, I'm going to do it. And no, because I went back. But then that day, I remember that's it. No more. And now until this day, I can see that. And I was like, look at yourself. I mean, I'm not making fun of people who are happening through that right now because it's not something to laugh at.
When you're in the midst of it, it's something. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, something else. Yeah. But now I see it back and I'm like, no. Like, come on. You wasted your 4 years of high school. Wow. And what did you do? Just stay home and do nothing? Mm. But now I'm like, okay, I'm here and I can finally just, okay, today is a beautiful day. I'm going to go out. Hmm. Or just go out, but to the park. I'm going to go out and sit at the beach because before I hated the beach. I wouldn't go, not near it. My friend, let's go to the beach. I'm like, no, I'm staying. Hmm. But now I finally go and just sit there and enjoy it and be nice. And I mean, I like it now. I feel different and I feel happy and I'm like, from all of that, look where I am, and that's it.
And what advice can you give any young person who might be battling this, whether it's a guy or a young woman? What advice can you give them if they find themselves right now in that situation?
I mean, just, I know you guys want to look like perfect, but the easy way, like this way, is not the best one. At least just go out, see what you're eating, change it. I mean, hopefully you guys come to the feet of the Lord and he's always there to help you guys.
Amen.
Pray and you'll see that it will change. And also, if you, okay, I want to look super skinny, do exercise. It's fun. Okay, not sometimes not fun because you don't want to do it, but it changes. And then you're going to get more energy and be like, okay, I'm going to do this today. I'm just going to walk for 20 minutes and that's it. That's the whole exercise I'm going for the day. But at least you're doing something and then you're going to start seeing the results. Yes. Okay, it could take a little bit longer, but it's the healthy way. It's not going to, if you continue doing it now, you're going to see that your health, okay, you could be skinny, but your health is going to take longer and longer for to get better where it's supposed to be. And you don't know what could happen. Maybe this is going to sound a little bit nasty, but let's say that one day you're doing that and then you choke and that's where you're going to end. So you have to see what could happen and just change it. You're going to see that God is going to help you. It helped me. So I think for sure he's going to help the people that are passing through this.
Praise God. And the Bible says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give them rest. The Bible also says that if you call on him, he hears you and he'll come and he'll help you. And you are a perfect example, me, Gio, on times where we've been heavy laden and we've said, Lord, take this burden. Or we were in our own separate pits and we called out to God and God came to our rescue. And praise be to God that he came to our rescue. He took us out of that miry clay and made us into the woman and men of God who we are now. And I give thanks to God that he met you at your need, Chantel. That he saw you where you were. He extended your hand to you and saw the condition that you were in. And not only did he clothed you, but now he sheltered you and said, you know what? You're my daughter. I see you with value. You are more precious than diamonds and than silver. And you know what? Let me show you the Chantel that you're meant to be. Let me show you how the beauty that you don't see yourself in. Let me show you how beautiful I made you and created you. And he showed you that. And I see you now. And I give thanks to God because where you were then and where you are now are two different Chantels. And I want to give personal thanks to God for that change that he's done in your life.
Absolutely. To end this podcast episode, I'd like to end with a reading of 1 Timothy 4, 7b and 8. It says, an exercise for yourself toward godliness, where bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that I would refer to this society of artificiality, how it's nothing new. The Greeks were enamored with physical beauty, and we see it in the sculptings and the paintings that they left behind. And Paul was living in an extension of that in the Roman Empire with the Colosseum and with athletes and the Olympics and so on and so forth. So the reason that Paul brings this forth, he's not saying that you should discard physical exercise. We need physical exercise in order to live a healthy and a nourished life. But what he's saying is that we should not focus on the superficiality, on the external man, because that withers away. We're all temporal beings, especially after sin enters the world, right? So what happens? He says, focus on godliness, focus on your spiritual walk, on your heart, on your mind. Those are the things that are most important out of all things. And that's the advice that we can give young persons nowadays. Don't focus on the superficialities. Hollywood, the magazines, all of that is superficial. It's artificial. It's not real. That is not reality, folks. Reality is what you're living. Reality is what the Bible has to teach you. Reality is, like you said, daily living. Go outside, go to the beach for a while, go kayaking, do the things that you enjoy. And you mentioned something earlier, Chantel, when you're kayaking, you sit around, you look at the heavens and the waters, and it gives you a chance to reflect and thank God for his goodness. Yes. That's the reason why he gave us this expansive universe, to explore it and to enjoy it.
Amen.
Right? So, Chantel, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for sharing your testimony. We know it's going to be a blessing to other people. I thank Sarai, my lovely wife, for joining us on the podcast. Folks, if you're in the Miami vicinity, please visit us every single Wednesday night for our Wednesday night youth meetings. They are conducted at 8 p.m. and we are located at 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami. Our website is lwym.org, where you can download this podcast freely. And last but not least, if you have any questions or comments, please direct those by sending us an email, info@lwym.org. Until the next occasion that we meet, may the Lord shine his face upon you.
You've just experienced and become privy to information broadcast and powered by LWIM. Choose what to do with the material as you wish, but a fair warning is in order. Consider conserving it with your life if need be, as said information has been known to preserve the lives of its keepers. Join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for more truth in a world full of uncertainty. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions or comments you'd like our hosts to address on our broadcast, write to us at info@lwim.org. Transmission end in 3, 2, 1.